The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Hope you all had a wonderful holiday weekend. Kendrick Perkins, top of the morning to you, sir. Stephen A., good morning from the West Coast. I'm Molly Karam. And, gentlemen, a lot of playoffs to get into, so let's do it. What a game. Jason Tatum's buzzer-beating layup gave the Boston Celtics a dramatic 115-114 win over the Brooklyn Nets. Perk loved it in their series opener on Saturday. Tatum scored 16 of his 31 points in the second half, along with adding 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal. Meanwhile, Kyrie back in the city he left, and Boston fans salty. More on that in just a second. Irving scored a game-high 39 points for the Nets. Kevin Durant put up 23, but went 9 of 24 from the floor, including some open trailing looks in transition. Kyrie flipping off the Celtics crowd on 2 separate occasions. Boston fans do not play, booing him every shot they got. Kyrie had that big, big energy Sunday, matching the fans' intensity. I'll let him explain.
You know, it's nothing new when I come into this building, what it's going to be like, but it's the same energy they have for me, and I'm going to have the same energy for them. And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan, but, you know, when people start yelling and you and all this stuff, it's but so much you can take as a competitor. And, you know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, that's the playoffs. This is what it is.
From a basketball standpoint,
yeah.
You feel like the hostility you get.
There's no hostility, bro. It's basketball.
When you were flicking some people off, I'd say that's some hostility.
From what? What point? Are you guessing that that's hostility? Or like, well, hostility for me is like growing up.
Well, we've never seen that from you this season where you are running down the floor flicking people off.
This is the first time you actually caught it because it's a big-time game. I respond in different ways. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to focus on that. If you want to ask me questions about the fans, go ask them. Go on the street and ask them questions. All right?
But I'm asking from your perspective, from a basketball perspective, do you feel like the hostility that you get?
It's not hostility, bro.
Do you feel like the energy you get from fans in this building
brings
out the best from you?
Embrace it. Embrace it. It's the dark side. Embrace it.
Nick not backing down there either. Embrace it, embrace it, essay. It's the dark side. Bigger headline, Kyrie scoring or that fan banter?
Well, I'm going to say it's a pick 'em as far as I'm concerned, because he was absolutely sensational, and I'm not going to deflate the performance that he put on by saying that what happened in the aftermath of it, is something that did, it takes away from the performance, because it does not. He was absolutely sensational, and he deserves a lot of credit. Should he have done that? Here's the problem. No, because obviously he's going to get fined by the league. Knowing the league and its rules and stipulations, he deserves to be fined. But I have to tell you this. Are you ready for this, KP? I completely support Kyrie Irving on this. 1,000%. I found absolutely, positively no problem with what Kyrie Irving did whatsoever. The fact of the matter is, the fans were coming at him. They were bringing that mess. No, I don't condone violence. I don't condone you going and attacking fans and all of that other stuff. But you know what? He knew when he flipped the bird at the fans that he knows he's going to get fined. He made a decision. I don't care. And the reason why he said I don't care is because of what they were subjecting him to. I'm sorry. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. Not even a little bit. The fact of the matter is that he didn't impede the game. A matter of fact, he made the game even better. He went on, and while he was flipping them the bird, he was busting their living, you know what. That's what he was doing. He wasn't sitting up there and having to be restrained and getting into all some, engaging in histrionics and having to be restrained and all of this. That's not what happened. Kyrie Irving was looking at them after one jumper after another, one layup after another, one dance pass move after another on Marcus Smart or Tatum or whoever the hell was trying to guard him. He was doing what the fans did to him because they brought the smoke. So he said, let's get it on. And what he was doing was basically replicating what's emblematic of what transpires on the playground and beyond. Excuse me, you want to talk some smack? I'm not going to fight you or anything. This isn't a boxing match. This is a basketball game. But you want to talk smack at me? I'm going to talk it at you. Now, they have justification in terms of why they have the vitriol they do have for him, because he was there, he wasn't at his best when he was there, he told them he'd want to stay and then he departed, so they really love it, they really hate the fact that they love him so much and he's no longer wearing a Boston Celtics uniform. That's really what this is about, because a sensational talent like that, you want in your uniform as opposed to the opposition. But all of these people out here that are going to try to use this to go up against Kyrie Irving. I got things against Kyrie Irving. We know where my position is. The damn man misses too many games. All right? And by the way, this is exactly for people out there that think that, oh, every time he scored, every time he puts on a show, that makes Stephen A. look bad. No, you fools. It actually makes me look good. It buffers my point. This is what I want to see all the time. I don't want to see that 20, 23 games a year. I want to see this brother walking through the turnstiles and putting on the majestic performance is few people on this planet have ever been capable of putting on display like he does. I stand here this morning completely supporting Kyrie Irving defending himself against that shrapnel of vitriol that was thrown in his direction. You, Boston, your team has to do something about it, because clearly as a fan base, you can't do much about it because you can't play against Kyrie Irving. You need the Celtics to help you. And yesterday, they seemed ill-equipped to deal with that brother. I like it. It didn't bother me one bit because he explained himself in the post-game conference, KP. He talked about what they were saying to him. I understand exactly where he's coming from, and this is not a day that I'm going to go against Kyrie Irving on this.
Well, it's hard, too, to go against some Stephen A. Look, here's the thing, right? I spent 8.5 years in Boston. I won the championship there. I love the energy there. They have one of the best, if not the best, fan base in basketball. We know they're hostile. We know they're cutthroat. We know that they're unfiltered. Now, with that being said, Boston fans, the city of Boston, I love you. But you might want to leave him alone. Because what you just said, you don't have to guard him. Those guys that are on the floor have to guard him. And you have certain players out there that booing, noise talking. Sometimes it could take them out of the game. Well, Kyrie Irving is not one of those players. He actually embraced that type of energy. He actually embraced that type of atmosphere. He actually thrived off of that energy, being on the quote-unquote dark side. So if you're just fans from the Boston, I'm not saying you got to cheer for him. I'm not saying that you can't even boo him collectively. But those individual comments, those fans that are sitting courtside that have those certain words that they're shooting at him, you might want to back off a little bit, because at the end of the day, you don't want to poke that bear. Now, with that being said, listen, Kyrie Irving, I'm telling you, Stephen A., watching him last night, yesterday, his mentality is just on a whole nother level for us going get buckets. I mean, the way that he does it and how he does it, being that size, the way that he finishes in the paint. And look, I actually like this version of Kyrie Irving. I actually like him talking noise. I actually like him showing that he actually is engaged and he's about the moment, because this is what we've been missing. So with that being said, look, my advice, Stephen A., Molly, to the fan base of Boston, I love you guys, but leave him alone, please.
Well, there's a bunch of folks that's going to walk out here, and they're going to try to focus on his behavior. I say this, listen. We all know that the city of Boston has had its share of criticism. People have pointed a finger at their fan base, et cetera, et cetera. I'm here to tell you, as somebody that's been in Boston many times for many games, I love their fan base. I love the energy. I love the vitriol they throw in the direction of fans and all of this other stuff. The few bad apples that take it a step further and all of that other stuff, that's a different discussion for another day. But that is not representative of the Boston fan base inside of TD Bank or the old Boston Garden. The fact that they bring that level of fervor and hostility for the visitors is a beautiful, beautiful thing for the home team. It's a beautiful thing for the Celtic fan fan base. I love the fact that they are that way. But in the same breath, I will piggyback off of what you said. Kyrie Irving is a different breed. Let me be more direct with this, KP. Kyrie Irving ain't Ben Simmons. He ain't fazed by that stuff, okay? That emboldens him, that fuels him. I'm in Philadelphia when Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn shows up for the first time to go up against James Harden, when there were stories percolated. And it wasn't from some blogosphere, Kevin Durant or anybody else. It was from newspaper reports all over the country about Kyrie Irving and James Harden. That wasn't just one blogger or some satire or whatever that was coming on. The Philadelphia media was talking about that stuff as well. Kyrie Irving, and not only that, you also saw the backdrop that Ben Simmons had to deal with just when he was walking to the team bus and the vitriol that was thrown in his direction. Kyrie and KD rolled up in Philadelphia and said, we're going to shut this down. That's what they did. They're built like that. They're made of that cloth when it comes to the sport of basketball. So again, Kyrie Irving is going to be fined because if you're the NBA, you can't condone that visual that he provided, and we understand that. But I think it's important to recognize Kyrie Irving is fully aware that he's going to be fined. Kyrie Irving didn't care because Kyrie Irving saying this is a different animal and I'm going to show you a different animal in me. I'm coming for y'all and you better beware. And then he went on the court and put on a show. And if that Kyrie Irving shows up for the rest of this series, I am very confident in my pick that Brooklyn will end up winning this series in seven games. Because what you saw from Kevin Durant last night, you ain't going to see it, or yesterday afternoon, you ain't going to see that again. You ain't going to see that again.
Well, Stephen A., you're right. And listen, let me take it another notch, okay? Watching that game last night and watching Kyrie Irving, to me, it was like watching Kobe Bryant all over again. And not just the skill set. I'm talking about the killer mentality. See it in Kyrie's eyes, right? The mentality. And so when I'm looking at it, I'm like, hold on. Like, this dude right here, man, I'm like, you have to have a different type of mental, a different type of psyche when you walk into that environment knowing. But then you got to look at who was guarding him. You, Molly, you looking at Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Those three guys are elite perimeter defenders, and they didn't have an answer for him last night.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, look, this guy Kyrie Irving, he's just on a different level.
No question. When you talk about Kobe was his mentor, right? That's who he idolized. But let's get into the defense a little more. And, guys, I mentioned this earlier. So Kevin Durant put up 23 points but went 9-24 from the floor. Rarely does KD have to point the finger at himself. KD, how was the Boston defense to manage?
Good job of forcing me away and then helping in the paint. I just got to be more fundamental in my moves. Just, I feel like some shots went in and out for me today, but I still got to be – I play fast and turn the ball. I mean, I just got to slow down and play my game. But they did a good job of making me see bodies.
Perk, you started to touch on it. Let's delve deeper. Was the Celtics defense just too physical for KD?
Molly, Stephen A., look. KD got punked yesterday. And for the first time, I haven't seen this Kevin Durant in a long time. Yes, when I look at what Grant Williams and Jason Tatum was doing to him, they were getting physical. They were pushing him off the spot. KD was flailing and flopping everywhere. And you know what? Jason Tatum took ownership of actually guarding him yesterday. For the first time since Giannis Antetokounmpo, I never seen anybody guard Kevin Durant straight up and block his shot. Now, look. Would KD struggle the entire series? Probably not. I'm guessing he won't. I've seen this movie before. But last night, yesterday's game, KD got exposed on the from the physicality aspect. They were physical. They were bumping him. They were into him. They were frustrating him. And those turnovers wasn't just careless turnovers, Stephen A. They were forced turnovers, active hands, getting into his body. So you can roll your eyes and you can start. If you want to go there today, that's fine with me. But the fact of the matter is they were into Kevin Durant yesterday. That's it, what it is, Stephen A.
You should be ashamed of yourself for uttering those words out of your mouth. You have been around too long You have watched too much basketball. You have participated in too much basketball to use the word pumped when it comes to Kevin Durant and his offensive prowess. If somebody pushed him around and they were scoring a bunch of points on him and stuff like that, that would be different. But from an offensive standpoint, you know good and damn well, Kevin Durant did not get pumped. That is asinine, okay? The fact of the matter is, Kevin Durant started off the game. I would get where you're coming from if all of a sudden the fourth quarter rolled around, the game got tight, and Kevin Durant suddenly performed that way. Kevin Durant was off from opening tap. Shots that he normally make, he missed. He was elevating. There were times that the shots were contested. There were other times that he had boogied on somebody, got enough space to get his shot off, and missed shots we see him make all day long. He had an off day. This is one of the most efficient offensive superstars we have ever seen in our lifetime. He had an off day. He had like three turnovers in the first few minutes of the game, for crying out loud. Like he said, he was playing too fast. He needed to slow down. That's all that it was. To sit up there and to say that Kevin Durant got punked. Kevin Durant! Of all people, considering what he brings to the table offensively, that he got punked by anybody. Anybody. This is a brother that can drop 50 in his sleep. Come on, KP. That's too harsh. Yeah. I can't believe I'm telling you that something is too harsh. That is entirely too. To say he got punked, that's harsh.
He did. He did. Look, let me explain something to you, Stephen A. When Kevin Durant sit up there and say that he was moving too fast. You know why he was moving too fast? Because the defense sped him up. You ever heard of that term? The defense sped him up. The intensity was there, okay? So then when you go to the other side of it about his missed shots, they got a term in the locker room. Make them miss. Don't hope that they miss. Meaning, it's a different type of contest. Meaning, I saw Al Horford last night, late in the fourth quarter, switch out on Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant couldn't get separation to get his shot off. Again, when it mattered the most, and they went to KD, Jason Tatum blocked Kevin Durant's shot yesterday. And I believe it was twice. But Stephen A., I'm talking about the physicality. Did you see when Kevin Durant was running up trying to set the high pick and roll for Kyrie Irving and they was trying to create the switch? And did you see the way that Jason Tatum was bodying him up to the point
where I've seen that before from Kevin Durant. I've seen it happen to him before. It didn't stop him from dropping 40. Hold on. He's a skinny dude. So you're going to see moments in a game where something like that happens. My point is, it doesn't stop him from doing what he does. Let me throw this at you. I'm just looking at his numbers here. Kevin Durant in his career has played 939 games. He is a career 27-point-per-game scorer on better than 49% shooting and doesn't look like he's gained a pound since he arrived in the NBA back in 2007. The brother is a skinny dude, so from a physical standpoint, you're going to see people try to push him around. My point is, it never stopped him. It never stopped him from doing what he does. The fact that he shot 9-for-24 yesterday afternoon, and just had a bad shooting game does not mean he got punked, KP. That's all I'm trying to say.
So, Stephen A., but we're not talking about his career. We're not talking about his career. We're talking about the game.
I just brought up yesterday.
We're talking about yesterday. And so when I'm looking at yesterday, not his career, Kevin Durant yesterday, we have to give credit where credit is due to Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, and
they
to Grant
good
Williams.
Defense.
They got it. No, they played great defense, and it started with the physicality.
But wait a minute.
And he shied away from it. Let me tell you how disengaged Kevin Durant was.
Okay.
Did you see the last 10 to 15 seconds of the game?
Yeah, he blew the side. He blew the assignment on Jason Tatum.
Okay. He blew the offensive possession before that with a bad shot that he had to take a long contested three.
Yeah, but that was after Kyrie went around a double team and kicked it to him with seconds left in the clock.
That, Because Stephen A. think about it. They was trying to get the switch and they couldn't because Jason Tatum's physicality, the way they was bodying KD up, he couldn't get a good screen for Kyrie so he could come off to get the switch.
But
and
most
then on
of
the defensive end, he...
But most of the people that go up against KD are either shorter or smaller. Jason Tatum is one of those rare dudes, which is why we love him, because not only can the brother ball, look at the size of him. He's a legit 6'9", and he's got an NBA physique, and he's got a long wingspan. So the problems that he could pose defensively are what other people can't pose. What I'm saying to you is good defense is good defense. Great defense is great defense. The Boston Celtics play great collective defense. That doesn't mean that Kevin Durant got punked. That's all I'm saying.
So Stephen A, are you sitting up here telling me that when it mattered the most yesterday, you trusted KD 100%? Are you sitting up here telling
Hell
me
yes.
that Kevin Durant was? You, are
Hell
you sitting
yes,
up here
I
telling me that
him.
Kevin Durant was Kevin Durant fully engaged yesterday?
Was Kevin Durant fully engaged? He had a bad game, KP.
Let me ask you a question.
Are you trying to tell me that late in the game, despite his struggles, you didn't trust Kevin Durant?
I'm gonna tell you this: that late yesterday in the game, I wanted the ball in Kyrie Irving's hands. I tell you that Kevin Durant.
But that's because Kyrie Irving wasn't missing. I mean, my God, he wasn't missing. No. That's the reason why I mean, not only is he spectacular, but he had the hot hand. But that still doesn't answer my question. Are you saying that you did not trust KD in the fourth quarter? That you didn't trust him in a late game situation? Is that what you're saying?
Not yesterday, because I saw it in his body language, Stephen A., and you just said it. Look, you rolling your eyes, but you just said it. From the start of the game, when have we ever seen KD with those many turnovers? And we not going to sit up here and give credit to the Boston Celtics defense and the personality?
I saw KD in a game 6 in the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors come up small. I saw KD in a game 7 against the Golden State Warriors come up smaller than I thought he would. But the question is whether or not I have faith. I was shocked when I saw what I saw, but it didn't diminish my faith in what this brother can do at any given moment because he's KD.
Stephen A., you saw it. I actually lived it, okay? So I know what Kevin Durant is capable of doing.
Which is why it's blasphemous that you're saying what you're saying.
No. I witnessed Kevin Durant struggle against the Memphis Grizzlies team when Tony Allen was doing the same thing that Jason Tatum and Grant Williams and Marcus Smart was doing to him. When he was getting pumped so bad that the newspaper article in the newspaper from Oklahoma City called him Mr. Unreliable. He was getting punked that bad, but he bounced back in game 6. I'm not sitting up here saying that Kevin Durant is not going to bounce back. I'm not sitting up here saying that KD is not going to have a great game 2, because I think he is. I'm talking about yesterday in particular, they caught him off guard and they hit him with physicality that he wasn't expecting. And so I don't think he wasn't expecting it.
My problem with KD, for the most part, I thought he was looking for calls entirely too much instead of just playing his game. They were looking for the referees to help them out because they came into the series knowing they were undersized, knowing that Boston had some size in their favor and the physicality, and as a result, they were saying, we're looking to get some calls. And they were playing too tentative in that regard rather than just trying to smoke them.
Perk, last word here, then I got a question for you. You want to get one more thing off your chest? This is all I was going to say. I understand in that moment Stephen A. trusted him. You didn't, Perk. I get all that. But tell me this, Perk. What do you expect in the next game? Because we've seen him after a bad game and how he responds.
Look. I expect him to come out there and do what he do. We already know KD is a basketball mind. We know that KD cares a lot of, he carries a chip on his shoulder. And look, he cares about the game. and he watches everything. He's going to watch film. He's going to see how they're playing them. He's going to come out and make his presence known in game two. I've lived this through. I lived this with him. I know what type of guy he, what type of player he is. I know his mentality. He's not going to shy away from the moment. He has to bounce back because yesterday, Jason Tatum got one up on him.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum outperformed him yesterday.
Yeah, and we'll go there next, Stephen A.
That is true. Tatum did outperform him, but here's the bottom line. KD is dropping 40 in game two. He's dropping 40 in game two. You can book it. And he's averaging at least 30 for the rest of the series.
Okay,
I promise you that.
I'm not arguing that.
I didn't say you were. I didn't say you were. I'm just saying that's what's going to happen because KD going to see this segment. He going to see his brother and former teammate KP saying what he just said, and KD will eradicate all notion of that nonsense. He's dropping 40 in game two.
Okay, fair
TD
enough.
Bank guard. Okay.
But let's just keep in mind this was Boston's defense without Robert Williams. But let's to Jason Tatum. The only questions I had about that man yesterday was the shirt he wore postgame, but that's a different story. He's been on a tear and it continued. You saw that little lace thing last night. So clutch, 31 points, 8 assists, and the buzzer beater to give the Celtics the 115-114 win in the 1-0 series lead. Big perk. What did Tatum prove to you?
Oh, that he's a top 10 player in the NBA. And it shouldn't have been just yesterday, but what he's been doing over the last couple months. Look, no one has ever questioned Jason Tatum for his talent. The only thing I ever questioned about Jason Tatum was his mentality, meaning I wanted to see the passion. I wanted to see the killer in him. I wanted to see the kiss of death that he's been doing lately. That's the Tatum I want to see. And so if you notice, the way that Boston plays, they feed off the energy of Jason Tatum. And now we're seeing a different version of him. I'm seeing him getting into KD defensively. The start of the game, I'm saying, hold on now. He's checking KD, and he wants the smoke on the other end. This is the Jason Tatum that we've been looking for. But right now, when it comes from being a talent aspect, and now he's taking that leap for his leadership and showing people why he's a franchise player, he's definitely in the top 10 for his top 10 players in the NBA.
I couldn't agree with Kendrick Perkins more. I have no disagreement there. I know we're supposed to be debating. There's no disagreement there. There's no doubt. Jason Tatum's a top 10 player. Jason Tatum is a young star in this league. And I love the fact that he's showing more of his personality. He's going after it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's going for it. And that's what you want to see. And this is the thing, KP. I mean, for me personally, just doing countdown this week and then just sitting there with Greeny and the fellas and the whole bit, Wilbon and Jalen, here's my thing. What I loved about what we saw this weekend is that we saw stars who want to be stars. We saw stars who answered the call.
Thank you.
They ain't just looking the money and going elsewhere. It's like, this is the big stage. Let me show you that I want this, okay? That's why I can be mad at Kyrie Irving for being gone more than half the damn season, because I know what he does when he steps on the court. And I think the borough of Brooklyn and the city of New York and everybody else in between deserves to see that on a more regular basis. You see Trae Young and what he did. You saw Donovan Mitchell in the second half and what he did. You saw Ja Morant, Anthony Edwards. He's coming, y'all. We'll talk about that later. And then you saw Jason Tatum yesterday do what he did. And this is the thing. Now, me personally, this is where I got to get on some people. You know, Brian Colangelo was running the Sixers, and they had the third pick. And he got hosed by Danny Ainge because Danny Ainge convinced him that he wanted Markelle Fultz. And he gave up a pick just to move up in the draft to the number one overall pick. Instead of Jason Tatum, he drafted Markelle Fultz. Okay? We wish Markelle Fultz nothing but the best. Just came back from an injury. We know he's had some issues, but we wish him nothing but the best. He's got some promise, but he ain't no damn Jason Tatum. Even though Lonzo Ball is hurt, when he was playing, okay, he was the number two overall pick by Irvin Magic Johnson's Los Angeles Lakers. They needed a point guard. They needed somebody that was a local product. And they got this brother from Chino Hills instead of Tatum. Can we fantasize for a moment here, Kendrick Perkins? Could you imagine if LeBron James had joined a Lakers squad with Jason Tatum? Could you imagine? Mm. I mean, I promise you this, we wouldn't be talking about the Lakers being out of the playoffs. We wouldn't be talking about them struggling to make a play-in game. I promise you that. I promise you that. So I think about Philly, and I think about the Lakers. They had the number one and number two pick in those drafts, and they passed on Jason Tatum for Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball. We need to remember that when we're talking about Jason Tatum, because Jason Tatum is a star. Jason Tatum has superstar written all over him. This is a special, special brother. And I think if I remember correctly, I'm trying to look at how old he is now. The brother's 24. He's 24 years old. My God. 6'9", wingspan over 7 feet, handle, can shoot from three, mid-range game, can score in the open court, can finish at the basket, and he can defend. On both ends, this brother is big time, and he's put everybody on notice.
And he's making people around him better now.
Yes,
absolutely. Hey, real quick, guys, I just want to give KD his flowers. I know it was a loss, but he did pass Jerry West yesterday. He's now number 8 on the all-time scoring list, so congrats to him on
that. And he'll be climbing. He'll be top 3 before his career is over.
Yeah,
top
for sure.
Top 3.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure. Just getting started.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Quick takes. Let's get it, fellas. Playoff Jimmy on full display as the Heat shut down Trae Young. Just 8 points and a 24-point beatdown by Miami. Big perk. Who's the dark horse to win it all, sir?
Oh, it's the Miami Heat. Molly, when you talk about the team that has arguably the best defensive starting five in the league, it's the Miami Heat. They held the Trae Young and the Hawks to 91 points. And when they get hot from the three-point line like Duncan Robinson did last night, it's curtains for any team that's coming their way.
Oh, snap. Get ready for some Prime 112 or Prime Italian. Stephen A., how about those Minnesota T-Wolves? A 13-point victory knocking off Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies in game one. Anthony Edwards, get familiar, 36-2-6. Stephen A., are you impressed or what?
I'm incredibly impressed. I think that this is a potential superstar in the making. When you consider the fact that he's built like a linebacker, got a handle, can get his own shot, has a perimeter shot, not to mention, you know what, we know about his athleticism. I got to give credit where credit is due while giving some love to Karl Anthony Towns as well. But let me say this to the Memphis Grizzlies. Y'all said y'all want all the smoke. Well, you got it now. I expect the Memphis Grizzlies to show us what the hell they are.
Okay, you know who showed us who they were, Stephen A.? That would be the Sixers, and Perk is going to be all about it. What pressure? James Harden silencing the critics game one, making easy work of the Toronto Raptors in a dominant 20-point victory Saturday. But it wasn't just Joel Embiid and Harden who we usually talk about. Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, all putting in work. Big Perk, I know how high you were on this team after this trade, saying they're the best duo in the league. Have the Sixers silenced all the doubters?
Absolutely. Hey, Molly, Stephen A., y'all ever had grilled dinosaur? Huh?
No.
You ever had a grilled dinosaur? No, I haven't either. But the Philadelphia 76ers did. They had it the other day. Yeah, they did. Listen,
Here's why I say this, okay?
All I was hearing about was Nick Nurse and Doc Rivers, and Nick Nurse is going to coach circles around Doc Rivers, and you better watch out for the size and athleticism, the perimeter, and this, that, and the other, and all this. And I came back and I said, listen, the 76ers have home court advantage. I said, Doc Rivers hasn't showed his hand yet. I said, the 76ers have a better team. And guess what ended up happening? The 76ers having home court advantage, they won the game. And it's not that they just won the game, it's how they won the game. Joel Embiid shot 5-for-15 last night from the field. I mean, other day from the field. James Harden was 6-for-17, and they won. They won on the backs of Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey. Like, those guys put on the clinic, and it goes to show me that the Philadelphia 76ers have it within them to play the game the right way. Like I told you before, Stephen A., the regular season is over with. So I saw Joel Embiid making the right passes. I saw Joel Embiid and James Harden trusting his teammates. I saw them making the pass on time, on target. You know why? Because now Joel Embiid has captured the scoring title. Now he's in the MVP conversation. See, when you get to the playoffs, it's a gender-free basketball. It's all about getting the win. It don't matter how you get it. It don't matter who put up the points. It's just walking out and getting that win that particular night. And with the Philadelphia 76ers, others showed me, even Milton coming off the bench and having 10 points, they showed me that they're a force to be reckoned with.
Kendrick Perkins, who in the hell was doubting the Sixers against Toronto? Who are these people you're talking about?
You, Stephen A., listen.
Who are they?
You know as well as I.
We said Harden had to produce. We didn't sit up there and doubt the 76ers against Toronto. We said Harden has to show up. What's he going to show us? Because a lot is on the line for him, and as a result, Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey, because he was acquired. We're not looking at the Toronto Raptors. They better win this damn series. They better win this. Anunoby, Pascal Siakam.
Oh, man.
I mean, I respect them. They can play. Van Vliet's a champion. Siakam's a champion. We get all that. But Embiid and Harden, you better not lose to them. You better not lose to them. So let's just pump the brakes a little bit. The reason why I'm saying silence the doubters, silence really, who do they play next if they win this series against Toronto?
That would be Miami.
The Miami Heat.
Now, let me ask you a question. There ain't going to be some doubters then? Who going to be silent then? When they got to go to South Beach?
No.
And you're going to laugh at it. Hey, KP. I said when they got to go to South Beach. James Harden, they got to go to South Beach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just never know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the distractions everywhere. I'm telling you, there's distractions everywhere in South Beach. All I'm trying to say to you is this, okay? When you look at it from that perspective, KP, all I'm trying to say is that there's going to still be doubters. You ain't silent to doubters. Anybody think about Toronto? Expect them to beat Toronto, especially now that they got all them injuries. The question is, you know, I mean, if you end up going against Miami in South Beach, what you gonna do then? The doubters will be out in full throttle at that point.
Stephen A. Yeah. Look, if they make it, which is gonna happen, okay? I feel like it's gonna be the 76ers of Miami. I'm not trying to count the eggs before they hatch, but let's get it out there.
Yeah.
But before this series started, it was a lot of people that had major concerns about this series. Matter of fact, it was a lot of people.
But we still picked the Sixers.
No, not all of us. I didn't. Not once did I have concerns. And I told people, no, I never had concerns about this.
Oh, I thought you were saying you picked Toronto.
This.
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying you picked Toronto.
I never had concerns. And I told y'all that Toronto, and I love Toronto, but I told people that this wasn't going to even be close when it comes to what these guys have to offer. It's just from a talent aspect. But when you see the emergence of Tyrese Maxey, I mean, this guy is special. I see why Daryl Morey didn't want to give him up in no trade offers for no package deal, even when they were sending off Ben Simmons. Look, Tyrese Maxey is going to be the deciding factor on how the Philadelphia 76ers end up in the Eastern Conference. Whether they're able to make a push, whether they're able to make them beat the Miami Heat, the guy is that special. And the thing that I love about him the most is that he's not afraid of the moment. He's not afraid of the moment. And I believe right now, that James Harden know that.
We don't agree. We don't agree. But I don't think you're articulating it accurately. Maxey is big time. And I get that. In terms of what we have seen, there's no dispute there. But the reason why he's going to be so huge is because the onus that was initially placed on the shoulders of James Harden will now dissipate. We're not looking for him to average 30 or 35. We're not looking for him to shoot 45% from the field, even though he shot better than 50% from three-point range. We're not looking for that right now. If you go out there and you James Harden and you drop 22 points and 13 to 15 assists, we go with that if Maxey's balling. If Maxey's not balling and Tobias Harris doesn't drop 26 points like he did the other night, like he did Saturday, okay, then more of an onus will be on James Harden. And that's where it gets interesting. The biggest thing that Maxey is doing for 76ers fans and basketball aficionados everywhere is that he is taking an incredible load off the shoulders of James Harden. That's what Maxey is doing that's more profound than anything else.
Yeah, but Stephen A., let's get back to this particular series. Because before this, all I kept hearing, and I know it's one game, but you could look at one game, like we're looking at the Celtics in the Nets series, and we could say, oh, this going seven, the way that deal was playing out. We're looking at this team, and especially without Scottie Barnes and Gary Trent Jr. in game two, the 76ers got full control over this. But just look at how they won that game. It wasn't a competition from the start. And by the way, see, I can play pretty good. Fred VanVleet played pretty good. Even OG asked Scottie Barnes had 15 to 10. But the fact of the matter is that what I told y'all, Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey stepping up, Embiid was 5 for 15. Nobody would have told me that Embiid would have shot 5 for 15 and James Harden would have shot 6 for 17 and they would have won this game. Not before the series started. And you know I watch every show, even when I'm not on it, so I hear everybody talking. And I heard, oh, we got to see what's going on with Nick Nurse and Doc Rivers. I heard that. I heard it. I know.
I will tell you this, man.
I'm looking at the Philadelphia 76ers right now. I went to my father because I just wanted to see their road record because I remember in the past they were horrible on the road. This time around this year, they were like 27-14 on the road, which is obviously impressive. Here's the key. Thibault can't play in Canada because he committed one of the most idiotic moves in the history of mankind. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not against the vaccine. I took it, but I'm only going to take one dose instead of two. I mean, I just want to say this before we end the segment, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Pfizer is two shots. Moderna is two shots. One doesn't cut it. You need the second shot. It ain't Johnson & Johnson. It's Pfizer and Moderna. You can't take the damn shot once and forget to take the second shot because you end up being like Thibault. He got to stay in Philadelphia because he ain't even allowed in Canada. That will deplete their bench to some degree. We'll see what happens. I definitely think Philly's going to win game two. We'll see what happens
Big
in game
perk.
Three. Game three will determine whether the series is going five or longer.
Big Perk, we got to roll, but I just want to ask you this right now, and I'm not trying to mess with you here in all seriousness. If it is Philly-Miami, you'd take Miami, though, right?
I have to think about it, Molly. I have to think about it.
I don't
really?
Blame
it. I have to see it.
I
have to see it. Okay. I have to see it. To Stephen A.'s point, it comes down to James Harden. Like, if I see James Harden get better throughout this series and he start to make me feel somewhat comfortable, then I could say, you know what, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to put a popcorn emoji sign up and say, I'm just going to enjoy the show. As of right now, I just can't tell you anything.
And
I can't tell you this, but I will
and
say
I'm
this.
Gonna
okay.
pay
right
attention.
Now, right now, can you're we, like this emoji. You're not the popcorn. You're the confused emoji.
I am. But
that's fair.
Can we give Doc Rivers some credit?
Why?
Can we give Doc Rivers some credit real quick?
Once the series
because
is won.
I thought that was a great No, but that was a great move by him by not starting Tyrese Thibault and taking him out of the starting lineup and limiting his minutes, knowing that you're going to be playing without him for majority of this series, especially on the road.
Good point.